Laudato Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, April 25th, is the feast of St. Mark the Evangelist. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis tells Catholic Action Italy that embracing one another can prevent wars. International NGO Human Rights Watch calls for an investigation into a massacre of civilians in Burkina Faso. And flooding in Kenya has led to some 30 deaths, while more than 40,000 people in the country have been displaced due to extreme weather. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Pope Francis on Thursday addressed some 50,000 members of Italian Catholic Action gathered in St. Peter's Square for a meeting entitled With Open Arms. In his discourse, the Holy Father emphasized the importance of embracing others through reflections on missing, saving, and life-changing embraces. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
Cari amiche e amici dell'Azione Cattolica.
Speaking to members of Italian Catholic Action on the theme of their meeting With Open Arms, Pope Francis introduced three points of reflection, three types of embrace: the missing embrace, the saving embrace, and the life-changing embrace.
L'abbraccio che manca.
The first is the missing embrace. Pope Francis noted that sometimes the enthusiasm that you express so joyfully today is not welcomed in our world. At times, he continued, it encounters closures and resistance. Often, Pope Francis noted, wars originate from missing embraces, and this leads to prejudices and misunderstandings that lead you to see someone else as the enemy. But with your presence and your work, you can testify to everyone that the path of the embrace is the path of life.
L'abbraccio che salva.
Speaking then of the saving embrace, Pope Francis noted that at the center of our existence is the merciful embrace of God that saves, the embrace of the Good Father revealed in Christ Jesus, whose face is reflected in every one of his gestures. The reason this is shown to us, the Pope continued, is so that we also learn to do the same. Let us allow ourselves to be embraced by the Lord, said the Pope, as in the embrace of the Lord, we learn to embrace others.
E l'abbraccio che cambia la vita.
Going on to speak of the third and final embrace, the life-changing embrace, Pope Francis turned to the saints, many of whose lives have been decisively marked by an embrace. If this was valid for them, it is also valid for us, said the Pope. Pope Francis concluded his address by telling all those gathered that they will themselves be the presence of Christ the more you know how to embrace and support every needy brother and sister with merciful and compassionate arms. In this way, he continued, you will be capable of making concrete signs of change. Finally, Pope Francis thanked each person for what they are and for what they do before invoking the Madonna to accompany them, always. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Over 1,000 pilgrims from Hungary visited the Vatican on Thursday for a special encounter with Pope Francis, marking the first anniversary of his apostolic journey to their country. The Pope visited Hungary in April 2023, where he had already been in 2021 for a one-day visit to close the 52nd International Eucharistic Congress in Budapest. In his address this morning, Pope Francis encouraged pilgrims to be people of peace and to safeguard their Christian identity, and he thanked the Hungarian Church for welcoming Ukrainian refugees who are fleeing the war. Lisa Zangarini tells us more.
Welcoming the Hungarian pilgrims in the Paul VI Hall, Pope Francis recalled how he came to their country, first of all as a pilgrim to pray with them for their nation and for Europe, threatened by the spectre of war looming again within its borders.
Nella preghiera possibile sempre ritrovare la forza.
In prayer, it is always possible to find the strength and determination to follow the example of the saints and blesseds born from your people, even in the current historical context, the Pope said, reminding the pilgrims that the gift of peace begins in the heart of each of us.
Non dimentichiamo che la realizzazione di questo grande dono inizia nel cuore di ognuno di noi.
Pope Francis went on to recall that he also came to Hungary as a brother to encourage the Hungarian Catholics to adopt the style of God, which is made of tenderness, closeness, and compassion. He invited the pilgrims to heed the examples of the several Hungarian blesseds who sacrificed their lives under the Nazi and communist regimes.
Grazie per la vostra fedeltà a Cristo.
Finally, Pope Francis remembered that he visited Hungary as a friend, recalling in particular his meeting with the Hungarian young people whom he had encouraged to safeguard their roots to lay solid foundations for their future. He reiterated that invitation to those present, remarking that by safeguarding your roots, you will be able to look forward with confidence, strengthening yourself in the values that give life, family, unity, and peace. Recalling his meetings with refugees, the poor and the marginalized, he concluded by reiterating his appreciation to the Hungarian Church for welcoming Ukrainian refugees fleeing the war and for its efforts to integrate those who live on the margins of society. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Pope Francis also met on a Thursday morning with Tomasz Szolyak, the president of the Republic of Hungary, in a private audience. Mr. Szolyak later met with the Cardinal Secretary of State, Pietro Parolin, and Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Secretary for Relations with States and International Organizations. The Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations, Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, has reaffirmed the need to support developing countries and to work together in solidarity to reverse economic imbalances. Speaking on Thursday in New York's general debate of the ECOSOC Forum on Financing for Development, Archbishop Caccia highlighted that appropriate paths of debt forgiveness and debt restructuring could be viable options to help such nations grow in key areas. Deborah Castellano-Lubov has more.
Archbishop Gabriele Caccia, the permanent observer of the Holy See to the United Nations, says the Holy See views the Fourth International Conference on Financing for Development as an opportunity for renewing global cooperation and also the commitment for bold action and responding to the needs of countries in special situations, especially to ensure the provision and mobilization of financing to address their priorities for development. The official said this at the recent debate on financing for development in New York, noting the conference to be held next year in Spain will be undoubtedly a pivotal moment and will take place against a backdrop of global challenges. The success of the encounter, he stressed, will be determined by its ability to offer concrete solutions to address the many challenges developing countries face regarding financing for development. It is worrying, the permanent observer revealed, that 4 in 10 of the global population live in countries where the government spends more on interest payments than on education or health. Such a reality, he said, is not compatible with sustainable development. The conference, Archbishop Caccia suggested, is an opportune moment to implement new forms of solidarity with actions to reverse growing economic imbalances. Through debt forgiveness and debt restructuring, he explained, developing countries are released from unsustainable debt, which enables them to make critical investments in healthcare, education, job creation, and social protection. Archbishop Caccia concluded by expressing the Holy See's hope that the conference will be a milestone in the journey toward a more just, equitable, and sustainable world. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
In world news, over 220 civilians in the West African nation of Burkina Faso have been killed by military forces who are accused of cooperating with Islamic militants. As Linda Bordoni reports, the international NGO Human Rights Watch reported the massacre and called for international assistance to support a credible investigation into possible crimes against humanity.
223 civilians, including babies and many children, have reportedly been killed by military forces in two northern villages in Burkina Faso. According to Human Rights Watch, the military forces, accused of cooperating with fundamentalist militants, perpetrated the attacks on the 25th of February. At least 56 children are believed to be among the dead. Survivors of the attacks told the NGO that a military convoy with over 100 soldiers descended on the villages about 30 minutes after Islamic fighters passed nearby. The mass killings are believed to be retaliation by the military, which accuses the villagers of aiding armed Islamist fighters. Burkinabe authorities have not commented on the report, but the executive director of HRW has called for international assistance to support a credible investigation into possible crimes against humanity. The once peaceful nation has been ravaged by violence that pits jihadis linked to Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State group against state-backed forces. Both sides have targeted civilians caught in the middle, displacing more than 2 million people, in which over half are children. Most attacks go unpunished and unreported in the nation that is run by a military junta that seized power in a coup in 2022, promising to end the insurgency. But the violence has continued to escalate, with more than a third of Burkina Faso controlled by jihadist groups. In February, twin attacks on Catholic and Muslim communities in the country left dozens of believers dead. Pope Francis called for prayers for the victims of those attacks. He called for respect for places of worship and appealed for the promotion of the values of peace in the country. Meanwhile, international and human rights groups have accused Burkina Faso of serious human rights violations, including the indiscriminate killings and forced disappearance of dozens of civilians. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Staying in Africa, ongoing heavy rain has caused severe flooding in Kenya. The downpours that have been drenching the land since March have affected over 100,000 people across the country. Sister Francine Marie Cooper has more.
At least 30 people have lost their lives in Kenya and tens of thousands have been displaced as the East African nation has been battered by heavy rain since mid-March. The intensification of downpours over the past week has led to mass flooding in over 21 counties. The Kenyan Red Cross reports having carried out over 188 rescue operations since the onset of the rains in March. The impact of the floods has also killed more than 3,000 farm animals and ruined over 25,000 acres of crops. In Nairobi, where some of the heaviest rain has fallen, more than 30,000 people have been displaced, according to the United Nations. On Tuesday, 18 people, including 7 children, were stranded and later rescued, the Kenya Red Cross Society said. Edwin Sifuna, a senator in Nairobi County, said on social media that the local government there was clearly overwhelmed, and he called on the federal government for help. The Nairobi River burst its banks and flooded the Martha Valley settlements, destroying many of the makeshift homes and leaving people stranded on the rooftops. Major highways have been submerged by floodwater, causing traffic jams across the country. Kenya is not the only East African country to be affected by the heavy rain over the past weeks. Burundi also reports almost 100,000 displaced people, while at least 58 people have died in Tanzania. The unusually heavy rain is attributed to the Indian Ocean Dipole. The Indian Ocean Dipole, often called the Indian Niño because of its similarity to its Pacific equivalent, refers to the difference in sea surface temperatures in opposite parts of the Indian Ocean. I'm Sister Francine Marie Cooper.
And that brings us just about to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our Vatican News web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook, X, and Instagram accounts. Many thanks go to our producers and to our technicians in studio in the Vatican. I'm Christopher Wells.